Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thanks for tuning in tonight to Raising Expectations. We hope you had a really good day, and better than that, you had a great weekend. We're excited. As you know, we've got two very special guests with us again this week. It's part two of what they brought to us last week, and you're in for a real blessing, and you're in for learning some very vital information. So we're going to roll right along tonight. I'm Pastor Joe Schofield, as you know, and it's a privilege to be able to be with you and to share with you some of who I think are the greatest people I've ever had the privilege of having as family and working together in ministry. First of all, very quickly, so you'll know, I'm going to go right through these tonight so we can get right into the program. From Southern California, we have Dr. Paul Hall, who you all well know if you're first time. He's from Lompoc, California, and he is a retired pastor. He's a theologian, and as we well say, he theologues and comes in with some great insight from the Bible and Scripture and the life of people, and you're going to love to hear from Paul. Paul's the best. So also, all the way to the east side, we'll jump all the way over, we have Dr. Craig Thayer, and we have Stephanie Thayer. Stephanie, as you know, is the health and wellness coach. She's the CEO of her business there and helping people. And she founded this business. It reaches people. Go to the website or Facebook. All the information to reach them is right there. And Dr. Tank Thayer, we call Tank, is a wonderful man of God. Her husband, together, they're just an incredible team. They love God, which enables them to love people uniquely through the gifts that God's given them. And hey, guys, Tank's book's coming out pretty soon. Want you to remember, it's a great book called Saved. We can't wait to premiere it for you as a part of his family and team. What's coming up real soon. So hang on to your hat for that. Now, moving back to Central America, as we often say, Central America, the great state of Texas, we have Pastor Ron Greer, who is very shy and very subtle. So when you drop him a line, make sure you smile and say, we really appreciate you coming out of your shell and working with us on this program. We love Ron, too. He is a special pastor. He has run for Congress. He's just done so many things. He's with men in the mirror right now, as we so often say, discipling men so that they can become the godly men that they need to be, better men for their families, for their wives, for their churches, and for their job, and to share Christ wherever they are. What a great team. I'm just blessed telling you about these special people. Now, let's move right on to tonight's program and kick right into it. It's going to be the second half of what we did last week, and as you know, we have Stephen Cabazude, and he brought his good friend who now he has working with him in a very special way, Henry Figueroa, and they are working with us. I hope you do follow our information we put out on social media, and we hope to have even more of that pretty soon. But they are both incredible in their fields, and they are senior adult family advocates. Everybody is a person, not a digital number. And you're going to hear tonight how the government doesn't agree with that, but they are working to make you count as God created you as a special person. So we're going to just let them go in a second. Would you welcome, hey, Steve, Henry, you're going to get a much better applaud this week because the whole team's here. Would you give a Raising Expectation welcome to Steve and Henry? Welcome to Raising Expectations.
That's great.
We got to find that soundtrack.
Yeah, that's right.
I
love it.
Well, thanks, Joe. Ron, where do I find that list of mentored men so I can have my daughters review the list? Yep, they're right there. They're ready. They're looking. And they may not be looking in all the right places.
I'm working on it. I'm working on it as hard as I can.
Well, we're glad to be back on, Henry and I. We haven't had a chance to actually talk since then. It's the busiest time of year for us.
Yeah.
And but, you know, we have to stop and check in and do what's important. And believe it or not, this has really helped me. I don't know. I don't want to speak for Henry, but this has really helped me keep the main thing the main thing. Because during this time, it's all about just preparation. And last week was a good reminder. And so thank you. Thank all of you for having us on and hosting us and giving us an opportunity. I want to pick it right back up because we do have a lot to cover. And you may have some questions, but may I call you Tank or shall I call you Dr.
Absolutely.
Tank?
Tank's fine.
Okay. I love
that. There's a water polo community that does not know me other than Tank. So
I love it.
What I do with my name.
Thank you. You brought up that you had information that crossed your path, and that's kind of how it works, right? You mentioned something, and all of a sudden, our ears are perked, and we begin to see information and data. Well, I just got this in the mail today. That's my, I must be old enough to receive my publication. But look what's on the front page.
There.
Yes. So that, cutting the somewhat to the chase, I mean, literally a day after this last week, I saw a commercial on TV with exactly that, that there's going to be a cap to a certain part of, and then there's going to be a cap to diabetes and insulin. And so what we didn't, I didn't get personally a chance to ask, and maybe this is the right or wrong, you can bypass it and go on, because I know you want to cover a lot. But a cap means to me as a doc, because what Medicare does to surgeons is, what's the highest expenditure for surgery? Well, it's cataracts, let's cut those, right? Or capitated medicine, which was a phenom that was ethically controversial. But so it says $7,500 a cap for certain things. My question for that is once you that patient has reached that cap, now it's out of pocket, or the pharmacies are now paying for it? Same with the insulin being $38 or whatever it was. Forget the exact number. It's capped at that per. Now, is it, what does that cap mean?
Henry, jump in there, would you?
The taxpayer pays for it.
Awesome. Big one, Ron. So yeah. That's the cap that the Medicare patient will have to pay. And above that, they'll still get their medications and they'll be okay. Because that's
yeah, my answer is a simplified answer, but the net is it's us that's paying for it, right? Yeah, that's absolutely right. And you're right, capitation is a controversial thing. It's interesting. Stephen and I are actually asked often to get into the capitation metrics and try to leverage distribution on behalf of carriers working within these, you know, these really fixed and finite numbers that make it really cost prohibitive to innovate and to, you know, really do some things at scale that they would like us to do. It's funny. We had an expo last week in Arizona, and we had a special guest. It was a former senior vice president of operations for one of these Medicare Advantage plans. And their whole thing was taking capitation rates. And the way that the person literally explained it to the distributors was, Medicare gives us a dollar, and it's how can we make that dollar equal $5 for the right. system, right? Right? And that's what they really have to do. And, you know, Medicare rates for doctors have not been updated since, what, the late 70s, I think it was the last time. We've been rolling it down the hill ever since. Right. We just keep passing it on because nobody is going to get elected on increasing taxes in order to pay doctors better on these plans. It's really tough. And, you know, as much as we're excited, Steve and I are excited to bring these, you know, dignified presentations for the individual and really, you know, position them as having these wonderful health plans. You know, the load that we carry, the cross that we bear is that it's us that's funding it at the same time. And it's taxpayer money. And so it puts us in this really, it puts us in a difficult position, honestly, you know, on how to navigate that, because we don't want to appear as though we're pro, you know, government healthcare management necessarily and government regged you know, metrics on a lot of these things. But it you know, because it is law and there is this opportunity and there's so many in our population, you know, 13,000 people now a day, this is the year where the Medicare eligible population is peaking. This is the year that the highest number of Medicare eligible people will come into the system. And if guys like Steve and I aren't in there, honest information, clear information is not going to be delivered. People will be coerced and commoditized. And I think that's the worst thing for the system. And so we're trying to get in there and fight against that current. And that's what our work is. So I'll pause there and let Steve make some comments too.
Well, Tank, it's actually, I may have misspoken last week. So as I was going over some of these four key areas, because the data had just been passed literally 3 weeks prior. And so I may have misread. So I want to correct for the record. I thought it was a $2,000 out-of-pocket max. I'm still not certain. It actually may be a true cap on prescription drugs at $2,000. So medically, they have a cap where you hit a certain amount out of your pocket, you're not paying any more medically. On the prescription drug side, currently for 2022, it's $7,050. That's a max out-of-pocket, but you actually continue to pay after you hit the catastrophic level of $7,050, 5% or $3.50 or whatever those particular numbers are. So it turns out that this may be a true cap that goes into effect 2025, where you are capped at $2,000 in your prescription drug cost. That's significant. That's something to celebrate. But again, who's going to pay for it, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, and I think to be clear there, Steven, so yeah, I should clear that up. So Steven's right, like in terms of a customer who has the plan, their out of pocket is capped, but yeah. Then how is that cost covered on the back end? And that was my point, right? The taxpayer covers it on the back end, right? So that I want to make that clarification. Yeah.
And there are some stages that the eligible goes through. And I thought, I promised I would cover that. So I thought we would just dive right in to how that's going to work. Well, how it's working now. We can't get into the 2023 benefits yet, but we'll tell you how to get access to us today. We really want to make sure that people are clear about how to reach qualified individuals who, like Henry pointed out last week, and you said eloquently, Joe, that are giving people their dignity and taking the time. So basically, drug tiers work in four key ways. There's a deductible. Now, I'll take one step back. There's two ways to receive Medicare. One is original Medicare, A and B, and then you can elect a Part D. If you don't, it's punitive. We talked about that last year. If you don't take your Part D, they're going to penalize you. So there's an incentive, a government incentive program. And it's a lifetime penalty if you fall into it. Now, I just received a poll today. This is a little bit off base, but COBRA has been considered medically not to be credible coverage. But there's some legislation afoot to get COBRA to be considered credible coverage because many people remain on their employer-sponsored plan and think that they're Part B is credible and their Part D is credible. And they come to find out that they're in a penalty phase while they're on that 18-month plan. So that's good news. There's a lot of great changes. Go ahead, Tank.
So what age do we need to pick D? Is it 64 or is it 65? I mean, you think that we've paid into it, the federal government would just automatically do it, but obviously they don't and they want to do penalize things when you don't. So when would people under 65 or when the benefit's going to start, when do they need to have that filled out?
Henry, why don't you respond to that?
Yeah, I like to tell people that they want to associate it with when they're going to take their Part B. Steve, you could have a sharper nuance on that, but the timing is when, you know, most people, they will stage with their financial planners the right time to draw Social Security and take Medicare Part A and Part B. Part A happens automatically for anybody that's been paying taxes for 10 years. And then B is a decision around when they're going to retire or, you know, maybe change careers, maybe exit a lifetime career for something more semi-retired sort of thing. So I like to associate it at the time that you're going to take Part B. Now, the more, I think maybe the more pointed time frame is to take your Part B when you're eligible, unless you know you and your financial planner work out otherwise. Because if you don't take B at the time too, there is a penalty associated with that as well, and that compounds the challenge. So, Steve, if you have a nuance for that, that's
sure. So we'll just drop back and simplify again. There's two ways to take Medicare. One is Original Medicare, A and B. B is an election. So when it starts, Tank, directly to your question, is it starts 90 days prior to your birth month. So if you're somewhere in the 15th, 10th, doesn't matter, of, let's say, November, it starts November 1st, the month that you turn 65, and you can apply for your B and your D during that time frame. And then once you become 65, if you have credible coverage and you're continuing to work or you're covered by your employer and it's considered credible, then you don't have to elect those. You can wait. The good news is that you can still elect D, and we'll circle back around to that, with Part A. So you can have A and or B. You don't have to wait for Part B. You don't have to put Part B on. You can elect Part D drug at the point you become eligible. Again, but you have to have something that's credible to cover you medically as well. So I don't want to get down too far. The second way to take your Medicare is called Medicare Advantage. These have become very popular. They were introduced around 2008, I think. Henry might have some numbers on that. I wasn't in the Medicare space at that time. He was. But obviously the baby boomer started hitting in 2011, and they became extremely popular, affordable, and that's been the metrics that's been pushed currently. So D, you elect either when you take Medicare Advantage, Part C, generally comes along with it, and then D is a la carte. You order that up separately, as an elective when you become eligible if you don't have credible coverage. So just to keep it simple, those are the phases. When you get to that and you're now eligible and you have your Part D, here's how it works. It works the same no matter where you have it, whether you hold it in D or Advantage. You start with the deductible. Not all plans have deductibles, but generally that's a phase, and you come out of pocket. And I believe for 2022, I'd have to look it up. I think the average deductible
roughly $350.
Yeah. $350. So that member, on the first time they get their prescriptions, they're shocked if they order them all at once. And it really sets them back, especially on a fixed income. From there, they enter into what's called an initial coverage phase. Your drug's put on a tier. Each company establishes a formulary, and some companies have two or three formularies. So it really matters what formulary you choose, and a licensed agent will do the research for you using Medicare.gov and then the carrier metrics to verify the information on the best possible pricing for that particular medication. So you go through a drug tier, you pay that price, and it's a fixed amount until you reach a cap, and that's your out-of-pocket. So it's what you and have come out-of-pocket for, and that is $4,430. So it includes the deductible and what you come out of your pocket for and any discounts that have been established. And when you hit that threshold, the way that you pay for your medications goes into a percentage. So it's 25% of the discounted price of the medication. So let's say you're paying $100 for the medication, and they put it on a drug tier, and maybe you've been paying $40. Mm-hmm. when you hit that catastrophic, or excuse me, that initial coverage limit, you pay 25%. So you'd be paying $25. That's a little less than the 40. And then what you pay out of your pocket up to $7,050, now that you're on your own at this point, you're in what's called the donut hole. It's not a wonderful place. It's what you pay. Of course, there's some discounts involved, and it's more complex than this, but for the simplicity of tonight's presentation, you drop down to 5% for that particular medication, because that's probably a brand. So you're going to pay 5% of that $100 medication, $5. So if that's not complicated enough, that's
what I'm over here laughing because this is exactly why Steve and I come on a program like this. If you guys can imagine, okay, imagine being 84 years old, alone in a convalescent home, okay? Maybe a power of attorney is involved in your health. Maybe it's a family member, what have you, okay? And imagine watching one of these television commercials that talks about the zip zing, putting money back in your Social Security check, right? Sounds so amazing. Yeah. And by regulation, the government regulation, right, on those phone calls, if they pass eligibility, like I mentioned last week, from this offshore screener, and they get passed through to some licensed person on the telephone now, they are supposed to not only track along with all of that information, the person on the phone is supposed to deliver all of that information in a fast, fixed period of time and close an enrollment while the person is on the other side, like, wondering, what are we talking about here?
Right, yeah.
And being recorded. And so, you know, it's ridiculous, right? And so it really does take somebody like Steve. It takes a local market person who's been through training on this, who's had training on, body language, training on how to deal with the power of attorney. All of these different layers, all of these communication pieces, right, are all part of this entire process that we spend a lot of time building out value for people. And it's really unfortunate that, we have this QVC culture out there right now, to use a term, where it's like we want to buy something quick gratification and have it delivered to us. And if they actually understood all of the moving parts that we have to hit on, the things that we have to describe, Stephen and I are required to check off that the person that we're talking to, right, understands those things that he just described. And if they're not willing to sign that they understand that, we risk an allegation that goes on record, right? And if there's too many allegations, then the government can say, we need to suspend you for a period of time until you get some training on how to deliver all of this information. Meanwhile, the call center guys, they can go on with hundreds of infractions a month and never get a slap on the wrist. And so it's really, challenging to navigate these things. And most of the public wouldn't know this otherwise, right? Public
exactly
wouldn't know it otherwise. So, but yeah, Steve, I was just laughing the whole time. Like, who could get this information straight in their mind? I mean,
I'm not 85. I'm 66. And yeah, last year went through the same thing. It's a bunch of word salad. I had the person who I stumbled upon say, okay, listen, give me a simple version of what it is I need to do. And she sounded like Steven.
Yeah.
Went back and forth, and I stopped her again. I said, okay, just stop. Do I need A? Do I need B and C, right? And what plans are there?
Yeah.
And she went again. And I'm going, this makes no sense to me. But then she's telling me at the same time, when is your birthday? It's Tuesday. Oh, we got to get you in within the next 30 days or you're going to get penalized. Okay, I'll just wait to understand it. She said, no. That's every month for the rest of your life. I'm going, wait, why am I being forced to do something and being penalized if I don't do it? I have insurance through my employer. She looks it up and goes, well, you can't keep that. I'm like, why? It's just, I'm 66. I'm trying to imagine my mother at 85. And we literally have to find someone, a professional, to do just that. No, I need you to tell me, and you work out the benefit for my mother, because she had no clue how to go about wrapping her brains around. It makes no sense at all to me. But again, it's the federal government, so.
Well, anyway, exactly. Ron, to be fair, you were part of Woodstock, right? And we
I'm
did
not
things.
Touching that one, man. I am not touching that one.
Woodstock and afterwards.
So, you know, there are some things that we have to get through in these appointments that, you know, people don't want to necessarily disclose.
But I just wanted her to give me I'm a simple guy. Give me A, B, C, D. Yeah. And then once I thought I understood it, she goes, like, what state are you in? Texas. Oh, okay. Then it's a little different in Texas.
Yeah. Well, hey, Ron, A, B, C, D doesn't even work in Congress, you know. So
right,
that's
right.
Yeah. And then, you know, like, and Tank, you can probably appreciate this. We have some clients that, let's say they have rheumatoid arthritis and they're getting, in past years, they had a high powered injectable medication that was limited. Right. Some people get it delivered either outpatient or they can have it delivered at home. Then it becomes a matter of, is the physician billing it on the Part B side? Right. And then that has cost implications to the customer, or are they billing it as a Part D piece? Right. And that also had, and so we had situations where we would get a phone call and somebody in the first 3 months, right, they had $3,600 worth of costs that had accumulated just in the first 3 months of the year. And now for the rest of the year, right, they had this catastrophic level what the government calls a catastrophic, right? How pejorative does that sound, right? It's, oh, it's a catastrophe that, you know, you got to pay this, that you've used that much medication. That's how they define it, right? And now they have to pay this percentage basis. And so they're paying 5% of, you know, maybe $1,200 for 9 months. And some people are on a fixed income. It's just unaffordable, right? So then does Medicaid get involved? Is there a coordination with Medicaid? Is there a Medicare, Medicaid coordinated plan? Those are all the things that Steve and I know how to navigate. But, you know, you'd be surprised. There's several hundred thousand people in a situation similar to that across the country, you know?
So we've served as an agency, as guiding and assisting teaching people through this space. And it's never been more important because of all the call centers and the confusion that's out there. And I had a discussion with a national guy today, and he said, we're not even going to spend money in marketing this year because we want to do it at the local level. I would rather do something at the local level and help an agent engage at a farmer's market or somewhere. That's my granddaughter banging on the door. I
was going to say, that's not my door.
I thought it was my granddaughter.
It's her door.
She's not going to stop.
So,
Charlie, Grandpa's busy, baby. I'll be back.
I have one of those too.
So, you know, as to really put it point blank, I think it's important that people here, they need to work with a local agent like never before. Somebody that they can talk to, that understands their plans in their area, that can meet with them in person, and really go through those. To Henry's point, the baby boomers are living longer, and so there's more chronic illness, right, Tank? Right, Stephanie?
Yeah.
You're helping people by nutrition work through these chronic conditions where they can. Yeah. And I now see a study that says 1 in 4 are now diabetics in America.
80% overweight, you know, and a lot of those are obese. The obesity is a symptom of a symptom. You become obese because of something in your life that happened. The obesity causes the diabetes. You cure the diabetes, you cure the obesity, you get rid of diabetes, but you still have to figure out why they got obese and fix that.
Yeah. The 1 in 3, that's the number that we have, is 1 in 3 are now suffering from obesity.
Okay.
And those are large numbers. And now half, to your point, Henry, are dealing with arthritic conditions. So they're looking, and the cost of some of these medications like Remicade and stuff are just silly. So, 3 in 5, I don't know what the number is, but something like 3 out of 5 are now dealing with chronic conditions overall. There's something that that they're dealing with. And so the medication research is super valuable. That's why I wanted to talk about it today. That's why Henry has taken some time to cover it. But that discussion alone takes 20 minutes to go over someone's medications to get it. I sat down with a gentleman. I'll give you an example. This week, the daughter asked me to come. She's a nurse. She works for a healthcare plan. And she said, would you please come and help us sort this out? So we sat with the father and the mother. And the father has had some cognitive issues. And she says he got a booster shot and then everything changed. And she said, it's like something happened to dad and all of these conditions are just kicking off. And now he's gotten 20 medications where he had three, and there's interaction. And she's like, we sat down and we spent 20 minutes just on medications and she's managing it for him. And she's a nurse and the interactions. And it's like, oh my goodness. So Tank.
Yeah, the first time we talked with you, the startling statistic of that meeting was Part D. 50% or more of Medicare's budget is spent on D. Yeah. Over about 10 medications, as you said. Those medications could be eliminated if people basically saw us or other coaches, because coaching is the key. It's not a diet. You need a coach that's going to get you through to a healthy state. It decreases the inflammatory state in your body, which gets rid of not the damage that may have already been done, but continued damage for rheumatoid arthritis or lupus or autoimmune diseases. And then, you know, liver disease, as I said, I think before on other programs, the leading cause for transplant for livers in the United States is not cirrhosis from alcohol. It's a fatty liver disease. It's the fat in your liver that's so inflamed. And what do you think the obese died? 93% of the deaths were in obese patients for COVID. You've got already inflamed lungs that are on fire. You feed it with gasoline like COVID. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, what makes me so mad about this too is that, you know, if 50% of the cost is for a majority of very common medications, if we could take a portion of that cost and say, we'll put someone on some plan like this for 3 months or 6 months to teach them how to be healthy and be able to do that going forward, you would save so much money long-term. But our system, for whatever reason, I have lots of theories, will not allow that. And exactly, right? Yeah, Ron, I see you. Follow like pharma, there's all these other things, right? And so then people don't have that quality of life. And now on these fixed incomes later, they're in pain and they don't have the money to do it. I don't even understand half of what you say. And the first time you were on, you had the nice chart for us, Steve. I loved it. And even as you just gave me the simple version, I'm confused. I'm totally confused. Yeah.
I will tell you, we have this debate. Go ahead, Tank. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'll just say God bless you guys, because really these are precious souls that have lived a life that are mentally slowing down, physically slowing down, that need help to figure out this weird system that the feds have come up with. And you guys are the saviors.
Yeah. Well, and we also appreciate that. I have a story
that
about
idea.
Go ahead, Ron. I'm sorry.
I said, and Steve's point, I think, is extremely valuable. I mean, invaluable. Finding someone locally who understands, you know, what's available. Because that was another surprise. Because I live in Texas, certain things available to my mother, I knew about mother's things, wasn't available for me. There are different companies here and going, well, what do you mean different companies? It's all Medicare. Well, yeah, it is. But so that was the biggest advantage I had, is that someone who actually lived here and who actually operated the business here, as opposed to somebody on a phone,
Amen.
And I will go back. You probably covered it last week, but I think that ought to be a special law and a special execution for the shysters on television every 10 minutes during the soap operas. I it drives me absolutely crazy, and I can't get my mother away from the television. And my mom live with us. Mm-hmm. It's like she would perk up the minute Joe Namath or somebody came on, and I can get my money back. No, Mom, you can't. Well, no, they said it drove me absolutely crazy. I literally want to have something where I could convict and indict and imprison somebody.
Well, It's time to run for Congress again, Ron. And this, and prescription drugs. Oh.
Here it comes.
And he was joking, honey. He was joking.
Yeah. All right. So
she said no.
All right. So
I
let me
two
tell
stories
you
stories I'd like to add, if I may, Steve. I want
yes.
to give, yeah. So for Tank, so we two things. So we had a conference with a holistic practitioner. Now he's an internist, but he also, like, his big thing right now is gut health, right? The gut biome, right? And how that's right. And he made the point to a ton of distributors and health plans. He said, you know, it is unfortunate that in the best country in the world with the best health system in the world, that I am paid $10 per member per month, $10, when I know how to get their gut biome such that they could save the system literally hundreds of millions of dollars.
Right.
Right. And so to your point about the brokenness, right, it's like $10 a month when he could literally give back millions of dollars to the taxpayer, to the system, millions. And yet he feels punished for trying to help this population in the premier health system in the world, right? That's right. That was the first point. And then the other category that we haven't even touched on are people with mental illness, their inability to manage their own healthcare, right? And then also there's a distinction between when we say healthcare, there's health insurance and then there's healthcare. Right. And where do we land on that conversation too? Because health insurance just helps, you know, with co-pays and all of that. But there are health plans that are trying to get people, like, for example, there's a health plan right now in the market, in some markets, where they will give people dollars for steps walked in a month. And these dollars can be used like in the gift card service. And now, to me, that's health care. They're trying to address, right, a social determinant of health, get people off the chairs into activity or something like this. There's also incentives to do like stretch bands if they're, you know, if they're at home and staying and stuff like that. So we could take this conversation in so many different directions. But I think what's fascinating is that if you only talk to Broadway Joe, you would never know that guys like Steven and I have access to the entire, just that entire landscape. It's just really something.
Well, let me just put this in, and then I know you have more questions and comments. But like I said, we feel called to go out, and we built a training program, my business partner and I, John Thompson, where we teach these principles on a weekly basis to agents, reading, educating. It's all about education and reading, and really, I feel like we're missionaries. And thank God we get a little commission. We get paid from the insurance companies through, you know, via Medicare to go out and do this. And so, My Insurance Solutions is expanding. We're now in California, Southern California Central. We've expanded into Utah, Nevada, right now, both in Southern and Northern Nevada. We're in Arizona. I just spoke with a wonderful woman in Texas over the weekend. So she wants to start serving in this area. And we're in Florida and New York. So, but I'm talking about where we have training going on, where we can take this information and begin to equip the local agents with this data. But where it's the separator, again, we talked about it last week, is we're going through this enrollment process. Yes, it's confusing. It's for people with a lot of patience to walk people through this. It takes sometimes hours, but it's worth it. It's worth it at the end of the day. I feel like we're protecting these people, and they come to us with other questions. They ask us for referrals about other businesses and other things. And then when we find like-minded people, we're able to say, hey, you probably get some information here. But it's where Henry's organization has changed it for us. I brought it up last week. I can't say enough about what Spark does that allows us to spend more time educating and with the member, while Henry's teams are behind the scenes doing a lot of heavy lifting and follow-up and things like checking on that medication. And Henry, I don't know if you've got some examples, and how your teams, and I know you're looking for more people like us, our organization has benefited. Every organization, as far as I'm concerned, is we've spread the word to other insurance company managers. They ask, how can we get this? How can we, even as carriers or small brokers, small regional medical groups, how can we get this? Henry, can you just talk a little bit about what the end user, the Medicare eligible, can expect, their families can expect when they call a Spark Advisor?
Yeah, I appreciate that. So I'll give a real live scenario today. If you're a person who is on any type of Medicare, let's say, for example, you go to your primary care physician for a simple visit. The mechanics are that the physician is supposed to bill Medicare first. Now, if there's one of these Medicare Advantage plans that Stephen has mentioned, they would bill that instead, and that would take care of it. Some people have Medicare supplement, so it would be Medicare billed first and then the supplement carrier. That's the way it works in an ideal state. Now, because Medicare reimbursements aren't always timely, it puts pressure on some of the doctor's offices in local markets. And so what'll sometimes happen, and it's for no fault of anybody's other than this, you know, this system that we have, a patient, right, the person who went for the visit, will get a bill in the mail. And it'll say, this is how much was billed to Medicare, this is how much was billed to either, you know, the health plan that you're on or the supplement or what have you. And either, you know, your balance is zero, or this is how much you still owe. When that happens, if you were to read through it and you look through the itemizations and all of that, it is confusing, period. Just that one piece of paper alone. And what happens is that during this, the fourth quarter of every year, and I mean, this happens all the time, but if you're Steve, or if you're an agent who works with Spark, what happens is you get this phone call and you'll say, like, hey, Steve, I just went to the doctor and I've got this confusing bill. I need some help. Now, what used to happen is the agent felt compelled in that moment to say, hey, you're my client. I want to take care of you. I want to get you the answers. I want to get to the bottom of it. And so an agent is left with, can you either come and bring that to my office, or can you text me an image of it so I can help get to the bottom of it, so forth. Now, the HIPAA restrictions prevent an agent like Steve to just call the health plan by himself or the doctor's office and say, hey, what's up? This is my client and we have this issue. Okay. And through each of these steps, if Steve or any one of our team members on the agent, like any one of the local market agents, were to try to get involved just to get some answers for the client, countless hours can be lost, right? And this is just on a simple doctor's visit. So what we've done at Spark for Steve and for agents across the country is we've created a system whereby if that call comes in to Steve, Steve has the option to connect with us. And we have some experts who have worked in complex cases with hospital billings and claims, doctor's office billings and claims on the customer service side. And we have a HIPAA compliant agreement that allows us to now enter into the conversation and take that work off of Steven's plate. And then we help get the issue cleared up so that Steven can go back building trust, rapport, and working on the clarification side for the people who need the enrollment for the health plan. And so at scale, what that does for somebody like Steven is it literally gives him in a given quarter, it can give him as much as 200 hours back of his time. You know, depending on all of the categories. And that's not the only category. If a client needs to book transportation, my team knows how to do it. We will do it for the agent. The agent doesn't have to do it. So we have all these different categories where we will do the work for the agent so that the agent has more time to be working with the public, clearing up all this misinformation that the football player has put out there. And it's beautiful. The market's speaking. You know, we've been doing this now for 2 years, and the movement that we've had is just awesome. And there is this movement, the sense of mission now that we have to restore value for the local market agent. And I'm super compelled about it and really loving it. So that's what we're doing on a high level. And that's also some very tactical examples. Yeah.
So you mentioned, or it's been mentioned. Okay. So two things. How do people already in the insurance industry, hopefully a Medicare window, get a hold of you guys to join you? One. Yeah. Two, how do patients get a hold of you to help you help them enroll?
Yep, I love it. So Tank, we have a couple of different initiatives that we have some technology that we have built in. We literally have now a personalized link that the doctor's office can use that the client gives permission for somebody like Steve to communicate with them. And it's HIPAA compliant. It protects them. It literally binds the agreement between the provider's office and us such that their contact information will never be sold off. They'll never be solicited. It's just a simple, clean and neat agreement that we will work from a service perspective to connect you to the right people and help in any of these matters. And we have some great tools to share with you on that sort of thing. And then the other thing too, is wherever you can, you meet a person at a local market retail store. I would say we should have, you know, maybe Steve have your phone number here available and your email address so that we can get a list of ways to connect with you. But for Steve and his team, you know, if you're in the business and you want to partner up with My Insurance Solutions and hear about this, these solutions that Spark provides, I would say, you know, we'll share our contact information so people can get a hold of us. It's a really valuable mission that we're on. So thanks for asking that.
We shared this information with a medical group out in Florida last year. You know, there's nothing in it for us. We just wanted people and the people that they work with, the insurance agents, to have these tools and resources. And I can tell you that COVID has a silver lining. What it's done is it's accelerated the trend towards people working from home and also using technology. So believe it or not, where my dad struggled with a flip phone, we tried to upgrade him and it just got more confusing. We got the call every day. How do I turn it on? How do I get this? And, you know, we just rotated him between the six kids. Okay, it's your week to work with dad on his phone. But what's happened is everybody's gotten a little better and the people aging in are a little more savvy about technology. And so about 50% more seniors are now working with devices. Mm-hmm. and it helps the process. Mm-hmm. And it helps us connect, at least using the technology that Henry talked about, these QR codes and these various different things. But at the end of the day, we still have to connect either by Zoom like this, or sitting down at their kitchen table or a coffee shop, wherever they're comfortable. In a garage. That's where I met last week with this nurse and her parents. We met in the garage.
So, with a recorder.
I thought you were bringing car insurance. That's what it was.
I have a compelling story for you. This is one that happened last summer. So we had a gal, 82 years old, right? Beautiful soul. Had been a customer of a retired two-star general. Right. He's so God bless him. Right. For his service. He's working with Spark in a different part of the country. And he had this client. Now, this was in July and he's getting ready to go on a 3-day trip, just a weekend trip with his wife. So he literally, the story goes, he was literally like working on packing his luggage. He gets a phone call and the lady says, hey, it's, you know, the client name. Right. It's me. My oxygen refill. My oxygen refill is 3 days late and I'm starting to get concerned. Now, immediately, right, there's two things that the agent knows in this context. There's a vendor that coordinates the delivery of oxygen and they operate separate from the health plan. All the health plan does is process a claim and a payment, right? But because of that, the agent knows that he has to work with the health plan and the vendor in order to bring about a solution. He's thinking about, the agent's thinking about his plane ride. So this was a moment where he said, boy, I really need to lean on Spark for this one. About 5 hours later, he lands at his destination and he has a voicemail. And the lady says this, I sure appreciate that you connected me with Spark because after 2.5 hours and 5 phone calls between the vendor and the health plan, Spark was able to give me the day of the month for the next 7 months on when my oxygen will be shipped. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, they put $143 a month back in my pocket because they uncovered that I was being incorrectly billed by the health plan. Mm. Now, that testimony right there, right, was so amazing. I have agents in multiple markets that have said, we're not sure we could have even gotten that outcome ourselves. Right, which is a huge confidence booster for for agents like Steve, the local market, but then also for customers, for clients that are in the market. I mean, it's just great to have somebody that understands, that knows how to navigate that, and that is out there and available to them. And mm-hmm. you know, you guys are asking, how do we learn about more about you? You know, we're just getting started with our messaging. 2023 is going to have a lot more mass market sort of exposure for us, but we're working really closely with Steve on getting this message out. We're super excited about what we're doing, and it's providing a meaningful impact to the
I just want to say this, that we never ask for money. And I know there's so many scams out there going on right now. You know, IRS says we only contact you by mail, right? Social Security says we only contact you by mail. I mean, I'm hearing people bank accounts being drained. When it comes to Medicare, nobody should be asking you for money. Right. An agent never handles money, ever. They never take a check.
That's good to know. Huh?
Just on the forms that you fill out, you elect to have your payment, if there is one, taken from your Social Security, or you can have it electronically set up. Your agent will securely work with you to collect your banking information. And or you can do it directly with the carrier. So it can be drafted from your checking account. And, you know, sometimes there are family members that help contribute to that. Mm-hmm. But it has to be one source. Or you can get a bill. That's the only way that you as a member should be paying for this. So there's built-in costs that Medicare pays. It's in the system. It's paid as us as taxpayers. We're paying a little smidgen to have somebody service us and answer our questions. So we believe you can either call Medicare and they're going to help you, but you're going to sit on the phone and you're going to get some information, but they're not going to be able to help you implement in your local market. They're not going to do your prescription review, know your doctors, do the lookups. They can't do any of that. And once they do give you information, they'll direct you back to probably local vendors. But they, again, aren't going to have this servicing connected to it. If you call an insurance company, they're doing a better job. I'm going to say that insurance companies are doing better. But now you're being routed overseas to save money. You don't get the same person if you call back. Sometimes you get disconnected. I was told that the IRS now has a meter. By the time you connect, they have a smart meter. And even if you answer they pick up the phone at 44 minutes. They've set it at 45. You get 1 minute with that IRS agent and the timer goes off and the call disconnects. You don't even get a choice. So most people will hang up before that happens, right? So, and you never reach the same person, and that phone tree is just scary.
Steve, and that is so awesome. I'm getting my signal. I got 2.5 minutes here. And so, I've got to do one thing that, unlike you guys, I've got to pitch this to Stephanie real quick. Last week, we didn't ask. We do ask for money because we get everything only by somebody helping. Stephanie, you have front and center camera, and people are anxious to hear from you very quickly.
Yes.
All right. We appreciate so much your support by being a regular listener and also your financial donation. It takes money to run a show. You can listen to any recordings and live broadcasts at bbsradio.com/raisingexpectations. You can also donate there. So anything is appreciated, and we really thank you for your loyalty. We're grateful.
So we can keep coming back to you and sharing men like this. And Steve, I've got like a minute and a half. Would you give the directions how people can get to both of you again and get a hold of you guys? And we've gone almost 55 minutes. It's amazing. If you've got give them a quick direction on who they call.
I think the simplest way is we have a team of live people answering the phones, and most people want to talk to somebody and get direction. Even if we can't help and they call from an outside area, we're going to get them to a local broker. That's our job. That's our commitment with Spark and our partners, is to find a local agent, not try to do it from a distance. Sometimes we have to by Zoom, but our number, the number people should call, is 855-313 855-313-6334. So that's 855-313-6334. You'll get a live person. They'll direct you to Spark. They'll direct you to a local agent. It's wonderful people. These calls are recorded. So if a family member says, what are you doing with my family, we can say, okay, they called in. We want you a part of the conversation. You don't want us talking to your family. That's fine. Whatever it is, we're going to follow the instruction of the family.
Amen. Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Henry. More people listen to Stephanie. We're going to go for 2 hours, right, Ron? So I want to thank everybody for tuning in. You know who to call. These are the finest men you could reach anywhere in the nation for insurance, for help, for information. Steve is my guy. I tell you what, love this brother. He's helped me so much. And Henry, appreciate you, brother. We'll be back again next week, and text me. I'll send a letter out, see how we can get these guys back again. ASAP is with their schedule, so we can hear more about it. God bless you. Thanks for tuning in. God bless you guys and all you do to help people. We love you all. Same time, same station, Raising Expectations next week on BBS Radio TV. Thanks so much. God bless.
God bless. Thank you.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.